In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. A few days ago, I heard a radio program in which an elderly man, now in his late 70s, was talking about his memories of Christmas 1945. It was, of course, the first Christmas after the end of the Second World War. The family lived somewhere in the London suburbs. Nearby was a prisoner of war camp housing German soldiers. The local children used to see them from behind wire fences, and sometimes waves were exchanged between them. A couple of weeks before Christmas, the boy's father was approached by some official and asked whether the family would be prepared to invite a group of German POWs into their home on Christmas Day. He agreed. The family was duly issued with a voucher for a large turkey from Smithfield, quite a treat when rations were so scarce, and on Christmas Day, three or four German soldiers arrived at the door. With them they brought simple handmade gifts, a cigar box for the father, a sewing box for the mother, a wooden train for the boy, and a rag doll for his sister. They ate together, they laughed together, and at the end of the afternoon, the Germans sang Stille Nacht, Silent Night, before returning to their camp. Like households up and down the land where families and friends gathered to celebrate the birth of Christ, these former enemies, 6 months after the conclusion of a terrible war in which countless men, women and children had died, exchanged presents, shared a meal, and sang carols together. How could this be? Perhaps it was because they realized that it was the only way the future could be secured. Reconciliation, forgiveness, and a yearning for a new start after long years of war, these must all have played their part. There was a sense on both sides that there had to be a better way. But perhaps, too, it was because war is always the result of an abuse of power, and these were not the guilty parties. They were, in a real sense, its victims. In the face of unconstrained power, innocence is always vulnerable. Whether it is power exercised by a terrorist brandishing a gun, or power exuded by a monster like Hitler or Stalin. On one level, innocence has no answer to power. At its behest, lives are wiped out, enslaved, or corrupted. But paradoxically, vulnerability and weakness have the ability to expose naked, aggressive power for what it really is. The German soldiers who shared the Christmas hospitality of that London family 70 years ago, in a simple act of reconciliation round the dinner table, and the young people who survived the Paris massacres a month ago and now insist on carrying on with their lives in defiance of the terrorists, bear witness that power, misused or abused, will not have the final word. When the incarnate Son of God came into the world of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, He also spoke a word of promise, reconciliation, and unconditional love. Indeed, he was that word, as John in his Gospel so wonderfully proclaims. Earthly powers were ranged against him. The brutal military might of Rome, the malevolence of Herod, the jealousy of the Jewish establishment. They would all try to suppress this child, who in his sheer vulnerability threatened to expose their abuse of power for what it was. How could a child do that? He could do it by expressing in his own person the reality of that long-awaited kingdom of justice, righteousness, and peace foretold by the prophets of Israel. And so, as the hand of the newborn baby, with its tiny fingers, uncurls to acknowledge the touch of its mother, the greeting of the shepherds, and the homage of the wise men, the divine principle that undergirded and empowered creation from the very beginning, now promises to renew it in the image of God, reveals itself to the eyes of ordinary men and women. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Today, the world seems very dark indeed. Every news bulletin presents a catalogue of human tragedy, cruelty, injustice, and danger, so much of it caused by the abuse of power. We fear for the future. Yet what we celebrate in this Eucharist is our faith that the light has come into the world, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. The Empire of Rome, Hitler's so-called thousand-year Reich, the depravity of Stalin's regime, have all passed and are consigned to history. The same fate awaits today's tyrants, fanatics, and political thugs. And still, the light that came into the world in that stable in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago burns steadily, transforming lives, bringing hope, proclaiming forgiveness and reconciliation. Still, he gives himself to us in bread and wine, confirming that this king and his reign of justice and peace will not be overthrown. In that act of divine generosity, we encounter the Word made flesh, and we recognize his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. As the 18th century poet Christopher Smart put it, reflecting on the mystery of the Incarnation, "Oh, the magnitude of meekness, worth from worth immortal sprang. Oh, the strength of infant weakness, if eternal is so young. God all bounteous, all creative, whom no ills from good dissuade, is incarnate and a native of the very world he made." Amen.